because he's already preached the word. You know, if you don't take anything else away today, whether you've had a good week or a bad week, you are in covenant with a loving and gracious God. Amen? You don't need much more than that. I mean, I'm going to give you 30 minutes, and so you're going to have to sit there and enjoy it. But if you took nothing else away, whether you had a good week or a bad week, you are in covenant with a gracious and loving God who loves you unconditionally. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? That's for each and every one of us. And if that wasn't a word for you, it was a great reminder for me this morning that I really, really enjoyed. Well, at home in our church, I recently spoke a message out of the fruit of the Spirit, and particularly the topic of patience. Patience. Who do you think that could be a word for this morning? Don't turn to your neighbor. Don't dig them in the ribs. You know, whenever I'm going to speak, I don't preach as regularly as I used to. And so when I have a topic that I'm going to speak about, I generally sit around the kitchen table. You'll remember that we had younger children when we were here in 2014. Well, now they're a little older. They're all teenagers. And it's great that they've all got opinions. And so we'll sit around the dinner table and I'll say, hey, kids, you know, Dad's been asked to speak. And this time the topic is patience that I'm going to be speaking about. And I generally try and get their feedback, get some ideas, because they're young, you know, they're hip. I'm old and I'm not. And they keep reminding me of that. And really the conclusion of that discussion was actually, Dad, it would be really good for you to spend some time digging into Scripture to understand this topic of patience so much more. Isn't it good that children love you? They want to express truth and honesty for you. So it's with that in mind that we reflect on some of the things that we need patience on. If you want to have a look at the screen, though, there are, and I know that Pastor David loves PowerPoint and is always being creative, but there are many things in life that test our patience. Amen? Many things that want to rob us of our joy and the things that God wants to do in us. And the fruit of the Spirit are attributes that reflect God's work within us. Because as we've already heard this morning, as we trust Him, particularly in this area of patience, to know that He is at work on our behalf. But tomorrow morning, you might face some traffic. What about the next one? Is this a problem for anyone? Come on. We've all been there. That's actually the PowerPoint, not something loading. All you Netflix people, next one. You had these? I think there's one more. No, that's a hurry sickness. And do you know that society tends to push us to move into a hurry? Do you know that in Australia today, the government budget for about $1 billion in red light camera fines? Red light camera fines. You may have experienced this where it's orange, it's getting dark, it's moving towards red, and you've decided to go through the red light, and somebody took a photo of you, and you got a bill. Well, that bill, we're told in research that delay is about 1 minute. But yet there's a revenue raise of about $1 billion in Australia because we're always in a rush. Anybody had that experience? I don't know. What about road rage in Australia? Where's that come from? I mean, I remember 30 years ago when I drove with my mum in her fire red Nissan Pulsar. Red engine, fire red. And people would cut her off and she would reach out her hand and she would say, "Bless them, Lord." And I learned from her, because now I say, "Bless them, Lord." Real, real good. I remember when we got our first telephone, 1978. The girls would remember that. They were on it all the time. It's a dial, one of those things that you dial. Now, if you're under, what, 40, you probably don't remember the dial. You just think, we always had mobile phones. But it moved us forward to getting instant gratification. Everything has to become instant, microwaves. Remember when our kids were a little younger and we weren't having a particularly good day, I was looking after the kids and we went through McDonald's and I thought, I can fix this by getting a happy meal. This child that is not happy, if they get a happy meal, they will be happy. Come on, parents, I'm not the only one. So I drive in there, I get a happy meal, I get a chocolate thick shake for myself just because I can. And they say, there's going to be a 2-minute wait on your order. Can you go and park? I looked at the girl and I said, if I've got to go and park, it's not going to be a very happy meal. But isn't it interesting how conditioned we get to getting things straight away and when we want them? And yet, God is all about teaching us and us having the attribute of patience. In this study by Myron Friedman, it says that hurry sickness is a behavior, and I think it's the next one, a behavior pattern characterized by continual rushing and anxiousness, an overwhelming and continual sense of urgency. I think it goes on to say, it's a malaise in which a person feels chronically short of time and so tends to perform every task faster and gets flustered when encountering any kind of delay. Got any idea when this quote was written? 1960. Wow. 60 years ago. This quote was written. If it was relevant then, how much more relevant do you think it is for us today as we fast forward? And it kind of feels like we're always waiting, doesn't it? We're waiting to finish school, waiting to get through university, waiting to get that job, waiting to get married, waiting to retire. The Christians through the Old Testament were waiting for their deliverance. In the New Testament, they were waiting for a Savior to return. And as we fast forward 2,000 years, we're waiting for our loving God to redeem the world, to come and make right the injustices that we see in the world, some of the pain and the suffering. And this sense of urgency, if we're not careful, can rob us of living the life that God has called us to and intended us to, because our culture actually wants us to change the values of society, the values that God wants us to have in each of our lives, and our society actually wants us to miss and bypass the things that God wants for us. It's almost like society wants to put us on a bullet train and we're going so fast that we miss the things that God intended us to experience, to journey through, to trust Him in a greater way. Because while we want to get to the destination, there's a journey that God has that He wants to be at work in each of our lives. So there's an opportunity for us to actually enjoy the things. And the best place for us to start, I think, is Scripture, to cut through all the noise. There's a lot of noise in society. There's a lot of things that want to distract us, but to allow God to speak to us, to allow God to minister to us and challenge us. And the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible talks about, the attributes that God wants us to have are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. I've lost my notes, I'm about to run out. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the attributes, the barometer, if you like, of God being at work within each of our lives. And this word patience that the Bible talks about, we can go to the next screen, talks about two Greek words that describe a patience through Scripture. Hypomonia is a cheerful endurance or perseverance, slow to anger. Who needs a little bit of hyponomia this morning? Come on. There's a picture of hyponomia that, and there were always pictures that would describe words. And this one is of a bowl. And all those things that cause you to be impatient are in that bowl. And yet God, because we know that God is at work, because we can trust Him, because He is at work within us and the situations around us, that we can trust that those things are contained in the bowl. over time that actually as we face more and more situations that cause us just that little bit of impatience, actually God gives us a bigger bowl. And he allows those things because there will be things that used to upset you and cause you to be impatient that today are not a concern for you. Amen? Peak hour traffic. Maybe it was an issue for you 20 years ago. Actually, it's not that much of a big deal now. You're used to it. You can handle that because God has given you a bigger bowl or whatever that situation that used to cause you to be impatient. Actually, God's increased the size of that bowl. The second picture that we get of patience in Scripture on the next screen is macrothumia. Macrothumia. Macrothumia means a long or a large temper or passion. And what I might use is, I loved the saxophone this morning. Wasn't that good? Why don't we just use the music stand? Music stand is the object of my passion. Now in your life, there might be many, many things that this represents. Could be getting married. Could be getting that job that you've always wanted. Could be finishing school. Might be finishing university. Might be spending the year learning the Thai language so you can go and you can minister over there and speak Thai. That, whatever that passion is, whatever that thing is that you're believing for, hoping for, waiting for, well, that's where it is. But you're over here. You're not there yet. And what you need is patience. You need macrothumia, that long passion as you wait to get to that thing that God's put in your heart, those things that you've been looking for, those things that you've been waiting for. It takes a long perseverance and passion. A few years ago, we sold our house in Melbourne and we were waiting to get a new house, our own place. And we had to wait a few years and there was a long passion. We wanted the security of a house, the investment of a house. But yet sometimes you need that patience to wait until that time. It takes a bit of perseverance, doesn't it? There's a patience that all of us need. And so these are the two words, the pictures, if you like, that we have. The Bible talks a lot about patience. In James chapter 1, on the next screen, the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. The testing that you feel like you're going through, the challenges, they are producing patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Some of the trials and the challenges that we face, and this is what James is telling us, they're actually about God's work within us. It'd be great if life was without challenges, wasn't it? But the Gospels, when Jesus taught and spoke in Scripture, he never promised us a life without challenge. He said there would be trials, but don't worry, I'll be with you and I've overcome the world. And as you go through these trials and these challenges, I will be with you. Romans chapter 5 on the next screen out of the Message translation says, we continue to shout our praise even when we are hemmed in with troubles. Because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us. And how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue. Next screen. Thank you. Keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never quite left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, in fact. We can't run around, round up enough containers to hold everything that God generously pours into our lives through His Holy Spirit. Amen? So patience has an outcome. Patience has a journey for us to engage with God in because He is at work and we can trust Him because we are in covenant with Him. He doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't leave us by ourselves to deal with these troubles. He journeys with us and takes us forward in the things that He has for us. You are not alone, regardless of the trial that you are facing today, regardless of the thing that you've had to patiently wait for, you are not alone in that trial. And in fact, God is building into your life that steel that he talks about. Right through Scripture, we see examples of this. Abraham, he's got a promise. 75 years old, that he will be a great nation, but yet he's got no descendants. Yet in his patience, that macrothumia, that long passion in trusting in God and believing in God, the promise that God has for him is fulfilled. Moses, can you imagine how patient Moses was? 40 years with about 1 million people complaining every other day. I mean, come on. You know, let's be honest. Every now and again in church, don't we complain about some things? Well, he didn't sing the song that I like today. I wish Jeb had sung my song. Wish you had a plan to sing the song that I really like. You're great this morning, Deb. I wish Pastor David, dear, you know, every now and then, come on, let's be honest with ourselves. Every now and then, they're little things. Can you imagine how Moses went? He must have been the most patient guy with 1 million of us. God must have done something special with him. But these are examples of how God works within our own life. And so the challenges that require patience this morning, the challenges that you will continue to be working through tomorrow, be assured that God is with us, leading us and guiding us, because we need patience, don't we? We need patience with others. The Bible talks about bearing one another in Ephesians 4, bearing one another in love together, because we need one another. I need patience with myself. I am a broken individual who fails regularly. I know you find that hard to believe. Just ask my wife, she'll tell you. I lead a team of chaplains at Mission Australia, and we are finding that one of the greatest challenges right now is in this area of mental health and people's mental health. It's great that we're talking about people's mental health. And so we're regularly engaging with staff and our clients about their mental health. And one of the things that we find is there is a gap between our own expectations and the realities of our lives. And we are talking to people about being patient with themselves. Give yourself a break. Allow yourself to close the gap between your expectations and the reality of what you can do. Because patience is actually linked to good health. Patient people actually have a better mental health because impatience tends to get us all stressed out, doesn't it? I mean, when you're waiting in line at the garage station for that person to just simply move and get their stuff done, don't you find your temperature just lifting a little bit? Don't you find that ungodly behavior, those ungodly thoughts just lift a little bit? I don't want to see any hands this morning. I'm just going to speak about myself. But patient people tend to be more empathetic and compassionate. Patient people tend to make better decisions. They don't rush into things. They don't make quick, snappy decisions. They tend to think things through and are less impulsive. They don't take shortcuts. These are actually good for us. I also need patience with God, don't I? Because, gee, I wish God would work on my time frame. Anyone experience that? Love what David said in Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. Because there are times that in an instant generation where I tend to get a snappy outcome quickly, but yet God does not move at the same pace that I would like him to. Because he's got an eternal plan. He's actually got my best interests at his heart. But yet in my own immaturity, I'd like to speed that process up. A little bit like the caterpillar turning to a butterfly. You know, if you help nature's process, it doesn't work. In fact, you do more damage to that butterfly. It actually won't be able to fly because it hasn't been through that process. And I think we can reflect on our own lives as we look back over our lives. We can see those times when we've tried to just help God out because he's not working quick enough. And we can see that somehow he brings good out of these things, but we've rushed some of these situations. Dale Ryan says, onto the next screen, please. Yeah. If you serve a God that is only capable of doing miracles that happen fast, you have a shadow of the living and true God. The living and true God has no problem with stuff that takes time. God has a long track record of working with people on struggles that take a long time, because God is a patient God. He is slow to anger and He is abounding in love. And who is thankful that they are His characteristics? And He wants those characteristics and attributes to be alive in each and every one of us, even when our busy schedule, those things that we want to jam-pack into every day, don't fit into His eternal plan. Let's trust His plan for us. So today I want to finish with a couple of thoughts around a posture of patience. A posture of patience. The first thing is that to have a posture of patience on the next screen means that there will be a pause. A pause. Sorry, if we keep coming through a couple of screens, thank you. That's a good reflect. Patience with others, with myself and God, thank you. There it is, thank you. When you find yourself needing patience, and I suppose we're not just talking about those couple of minutes each day when you find yourself in traffic, waiting for your internet page to load that's so important for you, your download speed, your upload speed. I think we're talking about some deeper things here. Those things that God is doing in each of our lives, that macrothemia, those things that He's placed within our life that it feels like there is a little bit of a wait for and is going to require us to persevere or to push through or to have patience for. The first one is that we can be comfortable in that pause. You know, my life's had lots of pauses. In fact, I'm in pauses all the time. It doesn't mean that life stops. It doesn't mean that life is over. It just means that there is a pause and a moment that as I'm waiting patiently for God to be at work, just as we saw right through Scripture, when we're waiting to see God come and deliver His people, there is a pause. Now, it's countercultural because we live in a world that's all about KPIs and outcomes and getting things done quickly. We all want a result at the end of each day. We want to know that something has happened and we've contributed and had the outcome. But there will be times where we don't get the satisfaction because we're in a pause. We're waiting for that long suffering, that long passion, that thing that we're waiting for. Have you ever felt a pause? You might be working through one right now. You might feel like that there's an outcome that you'd love to see happen, but yet God hasn't opened that door as much as you'd like to see it happen. There's a pause. Psalm 27 says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart and wait for Him." Do you know there's a pause that we have every day? It's called sleep. In the rhythm of life, there's a pause. You don't get a lot done while you're asleep. In the rhythm of each week, God gave us a Sabbath. So there would be a pause in our day, a pause in our week that we can trust that whether we're sleeping or we're in Sabbath, that God is at work on our behalf. We can trust Him when we are not like the mice on the wheel going and doing, that we can trust that God is still at work on our behalf. That's part of us trusting in Him and allowing Him to be at work within us. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus was with the disciples, He's about to ascend to heaven. And what were the instructions that Jesus gave the disciples? They're ready to take on the world. They're ready to go and change the world. And Jesus says, actually, don't do anything. Don't leave Jerusalem. Just stay here and what? There's a pause. Because you think that you can go and do all these things in your own strength. But the lesson that Jesus was giving to the disciples in that 120 days is it's actually about God's work. God is at work on our behalf. He actually doesn't need our help. He wants to work through us. He wants to teach us to trust Him more and more. He wants us to be patient and let the world see that patience that is within us is a trusting in Him. 120 days. And they didn't have an outcome yet. Can you imagine day 80? 100. A couple of the boys talking to each other. Hey, you know, it's been 80 days, 90 days, 100 days. Day 115, 116. Can you imagine this patience, trusting in God? 120 days, Holy Spirit falls. And from there, in God's timing, the ends of the earth is reached and touched. Because there was a trusting in God. It wasn't about what the 12 disciples thought they could do, of the things that they could change, others in the room. It wasn't just about what they felt they could achieve and have an outcome with. In fact, it was through the Holy Spirit and God being at work and trusting in Him. Isaiah 55 says that my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As far as the heavens are from the earth, so much are my thoughts higher than yours. And yet I still find myself being tempted to help God along in the things that He wants to do in me and through me. And I just want to move Him a little bit faster, and He wants to slow me down and say, but yes, there are lessons that I need to teach you and be at work in your life. There's a pause. And maybe you feel like you're in that pause. And before we finish today, we're going to pray about that. Pray that God would be at work with you, knowing that when you're in a pause in one area, it's not all of life. It's just an area that God is working on in us and through us. The second area, and this is what I find really helpful, is when there's a pause, it gives me some time to listen. And I find when I'm in a pause, my ears are a lot more open. Because I don't want to stay in the pause, I want to move forward. I want to move on in the things that God has for me. And it causes me just to listen with a little bit more clarity so that God can be at work. And I find in those times that God is about preparing us from the things that He is moving us through and moving us to. I love the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. You know the story if you haven't read it, Genesis 37 through to 50. And I encourage you, particularly young people, read it in one sitting. Don't be nervous. Read. It's in the Bible. It might be on an iPad too, but there's nothing like reading it. Anyhow, let's not get stuck there. So Genesis 37 to 50. Read the story and see God at work.
Yeah, good.
Joseph, Jacob's favorite son, favored a little, sold by his brothers into slavery. Can you imagine having such a dream? He's got a passion that all of his brothers are going to one day bow down to him, and he's got a passion for the things, that the dreams that God has placed within his heart. But yet, isn't there a journey? A journey where he's sold into slavery, becomes the head of Potiphar's house, ends up in jail again, interprets his fellow prisoners' dreams, and still spends another 2 years in jail. Can you imagine the journey that God has for Joseph? But yet through that journey, God prepares Joseph to be able to become the prime minister of Egypt, one of the most powerful positions in the land, and also able to see the dream that God originally gave him fulfilled. But yet you've got to go through the journey, don't you? Imagine if Joseph tried to supersede that journey and tried to get the outcome for himself. He would not have been able to lead the way that God intended him to lead without the journey. Imagine the lessons he learned along the journey. Humility, trusting in God, serving others, God's timing. All of these things that he was learning, God would use when he came to that place that he was going to be used. These are examples for us, and that's why when we need to, when we have that pause that we're working through, that as we listen intently to God, we tend to hear God and some of the things that He's speaking to us, because at times we're so fast on that bullet train, we can't hear with clarity the things that God wants to speak to us, talk to us, and challenge us about, because He's focused on our journey. Whereas society tends to tell us it's all about the destination. It's all about the outcome. But actually, God is at work within each and every one of us. And when we allow God to be at work along the journey of life, He is developing our character for His glory. Do you know the destination tends to take care of itself? we need to allow him to be at work as we listen to him. What it does do also causes us to trust that we would embrace the pause, we would listen with clarity and trust him. That's what you heard about this morning around the communion table. In fact, trusting God each day is the practical expression of the covenant that we are in with him. I'll say that again. Trusting God is the practical expression of the covenant that we are in with him. It's easier to sing a song, to lift our hands and say, God, you are my everything. I put my trust in you. And then the next day when we find ourselves in a pause and listening, that's when we actually, it's the practical expression of the song, isn't it? That's the challenge for us, because patience is not passive. Don't think to yourself, I'm a patient person, therefore I do nothing. No, in fact, I think it's the alternative. Patience is having a courage and a trust of being able to say, even though there's things I'd like to do and hurry God along in this moment, I'm going to actively trust him through this trial. I'm going to actively put my faith, I'm going to put my trust in him, I'm going to seek his kingdom, and I'm going to believe the words of Romans 8 that talk about him being at work on my behalf. He's at work on my behalf when I'm asleep. He's at work on my behalf when I'm in the Sabbath day, allowing him, listening to him, allowing him to speak to me. He's at work when I put my trust in him and allow him to be at work on my behalf in some of those situations that I'd like to just let people know that that my rights are here, that I need to be listened to, but yet I put my trust in him. And I say, God, I give this to you. I hand this over to you. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to trust you that you are at work redeeming the world, redeeming my life and the lives of those around me, because I can put my trust in you. God's promise for us is in Isaiah 51, that my mercy and my justice are coming soon. My salvation is on the way. My strong arm will bring justice to the nations. All distant lands will look to me and they will wait in hope for my powerful arm. Because God is with us. He is leading us. And in everything that we do, he is working on our behalf. I remember when I was a youth leader, there was a young man that, he required a lot of patience. He's a great young kid, but he had a few rough edges. Came from a great family, parents that loved him, parents that had given him a great example. But, you know, he made a few mistakes along the way. I remember one of the youth camps that we were on. He had this habit of going out after lights out. There'd be nobody here that would do that, I don't think. No, Andrew, it wouldn't happen. Well, I'd been doing youth camps for a while, and early on when I was a youth leader, I used to go out with a torch, you know, and go and find everybody, because that's what I thought you're supposed to do. You know, after a few years, I was getting a bit old for that. So this time, I just went and sat on the guy's bed. I was waiting for him, because he's going to come back at some stage. Anyway, a few hours later, I found this kid waking me up, because I'd fallen asleep on his bed. You know, and I'm kind of like, oh. He says, can I get back into my bed now? I go, yeah, and we're going to talk in the morning. I was really embarrassed that I'd fallen asleep. Soon after, he came to me and wanted to talk about a really bad thing he'd done. He was with a group of guys who stole a car. I mean, that's when you start, this is not just easy stuff, this is serious stuff. And we then had to work through the process of restitution, going to the police, making things right. Now, he wasn't the primary person, but he was in the car. And that's not good. And we were able to bring good about in a difficult situation. Do you know, over the years, as people prayed for him, as his parents earnestly prayed for him, do you know that he had an encounter with God? His parents had been praying for him to be right with God, and the journey that he was on took time, and there were some really silly choices and silly decisions that he made, but then he had an encounter with God, and started to make better decisions. And God was at work in him and through him. And in fact, I was so pleased when he rang me and told me one day that he was now going to be a youth leader. He was going to watch kids as they went out. In fact, I remember the story that somebody relayed to me, that he was telling the kids that they couldn't go out after dark, and how the people that knew that story would smile to themselves and just wonder how late he would be out that night chasing after kids. You know, we can trust that God is at work, and he's still in ministry today serving God. And I thank God that he had parents who were praying for him, and a young man that was able to work through the things, the mistakes that he'd made, and come and find the grace of God that he's entered into covenant with to find forgiveness and make right some of those poor choices that he had made. Patience means a delay in our life that requires perseverance. And God doesn't want to leave us there by ourselves. God actually wants to be at work through us. That hypomania, maybe you need God to give you that bigger bowl. Those things that within that bowl, those things that maybe just lift your heart rate a little, your anxiety levels, that God would give you a bigger bowl. Maybe there's that macrothumia, those things that you're passionate about, but it's going to take some perseverance to get through. This morning as we finish, I want to pray that God would give you that patience, that perseverance that he wants to be at work in your life for. Come on, why don't we take a moment to pray together? God, we thank you today that we know that we can trust you, that you are with us. I pray for all of us today. Those that might think they're in a pause. Those that might find that they need to listen to you more intently. That all of us could trust you. I pray that you would be with us today. Lead us and guide us, we pray. And give us the confidence that we can trust in you. Wonder this morning, just as we keep our heads bowed and eyes closed, wonder if there's some people this morning, you need God to give you that bigger bowl. Some things that you're facing right now and you say, God, I need that patience. Enlarge that bowl. Yeah, thanks. I see that hand. I'm going to pray. Thanks. I see those hands. God, would you enlarge that bowl? Enlarge that capacity for me to trust you. Maybe there's that long passion, that macrothumia, that thing that seems so far off but yet need God's to be at work for you to persevere. Hey, if that's you, thanks. Others that we could pray for this morning, thanks. See those hands. You know, in a society that wants to push us quickly, we can trust that God is at work on our behalf. Others that I can pray for this morning, give me a wave so I know I'm praying for. Great. Great. Come on, why don't we stand together this morning? Father, for each of us, we know that you are good. We know that you're at work. The fruit of the Spirit that's active in our lives are attributes that the world can see that we trust you. For each person this morning that has acknowledged that there's some things, there's a delay. There's some things that feel like there's a pause. That long passion that they have to see the things that you've placed in our hearts. I pray for each person this morning that raised their hand, and for all of us, that we would be able to embrace this delay. Embrace the things that you have for us, and like Joseph that's on that journey, that you'd be at work within us, working on our character, working on the things that you want to see move forward in each of our lives. And I pray that as we listen to you intently, that you'd speak to people, that we'd be able to put our trust in you in a fresh way, knowing that you're at work on our behalf, that we could know with confidence that you are leading and guiding. I pray for people that feel a bit stuck in some of these processes. God, that you would help them move forward. Be our strength, we pray. Be the one that leads us forward. And I pray that as we find situations over the next few days that require patience, that we'd be able to put our trust in you and say, God, I know you're at work. God, come and work in me. Allow me to listen to you more intently, I pray in Jesus' name. Just as our heads are bowed and eyes closed, I just wonder whether there's people this morning, and I know as a church we make this opportunity each week that if you have never surrendered your life to God, this morning if you'd like to do that, we'd love the chance to pray for you. If you've never given your life to him this morning, I'd love to say a prayer for you before I hand back to Pastor David. If that's you, I'd love you to give me a wave. as we shared about around communion today, entering into covenant with a loving God, a God who loves you unconditionally and wants to be at work in your life. If that's you, just give me a wave. I'd love to pray for you this morning. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, for all of us today, thank you that each one can be in loving relationship with you. Thank you for the story of communion today, that you are with us, that you love us unconditionally. And I pray that would be the reality for each person here today. If anybody has any doubt, let them come and get prayer today. I pray that we'd be confident in our relationship with you. God, we know that you're with us. And I pray for your blessing over each person. I pray that each person this week, as they enter a new week, that they would sense that you are with them, that you are leading them, you're guiding them. I pray you'd keep each one in good health. I pray they would sense your spirit alive within them, knowing that you are leading and guiding. Let the conversations they'd have this weekend bring about your blessing into each situation. We pray in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give him some praise this morning.